All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Guiding Light. And yeah, I did love that last TED Talk. That was brilliant. As you know, if you know anything about my path, self-talk became very, very important to me, as well as breathing, which are a couple of the things that she talked about. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move into Bernadette Roberts. We're looking at What is the Self? I'm on page 18. I don't know how many weeks I've been teaching this, and I'm on page 18. I'm on the third paragraph on the page. Actually, we read the first couple of sentences in that paragraph last time, and the new information starts on about the third sentence. But of course, I'm going to start at the top of the paragraph, and we'll move forward from there. We're in the section called the ego. So we're looking at the ego. You may remember that last week we looked at the fact, and I was on the telephone, remember? Last week we looked at the fact that there is no such thing as 100% ego. You know, I don't know what it is, she doesn't say, but I'll just imagine 99% ego is as much as you can go. There has to be at least 1% divine, you know, for Hitler, for everyone. And so every single person has access to the divine, because there's no way that the ego can actually cover up the divine. You know, we use that symbol a lot. We talk about the ego covering up the self. But there's just no way that can be true, because we all have at least a pinhole of access to the divine. The question is, are we turning our attention in that direction or not? Right? We can look away from it. But we can't actually 100% cover it up. It's impossible. So, starting on the third paragraph, page 18, the greatest help in finding the center of consciousness is an interior experience of the divine, some form of presence or supernatural power. It is at this point, or ego center, that the divine often reveals itself, and in doing so draws attention to the center. Those are the sentences that I ended with last week. And, you know, in my time of being on the spiritual path, of course, I've had many incredible spiritual experiences. And I've met other people who have had some incredible spiritual experiences. And one error that I've always recognized is the error of chasing those experiences. You know, so for example, when I had the experience of being an apple, which many of you know about, it would be an error if my devotion then became to have that experience again. Because these experiences are merely pointers. They're not the absolute itself. And a lot of people make these mistakes. Some people, I've known people who have had, you know, almost what we would call an enlightened experience. And sometimes it lasts for like 3 weeks. One person I know, it lasted for like 3 months. And then it ended. And people start chasing that experience. And that's an error. That's a mistake. The experience is a pointer that it's encouraging you to go within. But when you go within, the best way to go within is with a sense of mystery, with a sense of seeking truth, seeking the absolute, and not knowing what it is. And in fact, one of the points that Bernadette Roberts makes is any experience that we have of the divine, take this very seriously, any experience that we have of the divine, why the ego is still in place, is through the filter of the ego. Therefore, it is not an experience of the absolute. I mean, think about that. So our most precious mystical experiences are merely temporary experiences encouraging us to seek within. And when we make them bigger than that, we're making a mistake. And if we seek those same experiences, like that was it, right? And I want to have that again, we're making a mistake. But the purpose of those experiences, she says, is to draw us inward. So I'll read these two sentences again and then we'll move on. The greatest help in finding the center of consciousness is an interior experience of the divine, some form of presence or supernatural power. It is at this point or ego center that the divine often reveals itself and in doing so draws attention to the center. All right, now we'll begin new sentences. The divine revealing itself at the center virtually turns the will or feeling self in its direction, a direction deep within, underlying the self center and away from the rest of self. Forgive me, that sentence just is incredible. I mean, my God, if you want to spend all week with one sentence, please spend all week with the sentence I just read. Like, holy crap. I'll read the sentence again and then we'll look at it. But this is one heck of a sentence. The divine revealing itself at the center virtually turns the will or feeling self in its direction, a direction deep within, underlying the self center and away from the rest of self. That sentence just took my breath away again. So, whatever types of experiences we have, and you know, here in Colorado, I'm actually in Pueblo right now, but in La Vida, I think Ram was probably there when I said this for the first time, but since then it's been repeated many times. I talked about how when I contemplate, it's like getting a spiritual erection in the heart. Like I can just feel it in the heart. You know, I swear it's like getting a hard on, literally, in the heart. Okay, so what she is saying is these types of experiences have a purpose. And the purpose, listen to the purpose. The purpose is to turn your self-will toward that experience, toward that divine center, and away from the rest of yourself. I mean, can you guys hear that? To turn your self-will, the purpose of these devotional experiences, some people might get tingles in the heart. You know, some people might just feel very, very at peace. Whatever happens when you're in contemplation or in meditation, you know, that really rocks you, you know, that really keeps you, what keeps you coming back? You know, that's what I'm talking about. What keeps you coming back? That's its purpose, is to keep you coming back. But I love these words. She says is to take the self-will. In other words, you're going to use the same self-will that you use to be very selfish, right? The same self-will that you use to be very absorbed in yourself. The same self-will. The same self-will, not a different self-will. You're just going to take that self-will and turn it around in pursuit of the divine. You know, lots of times we talk about abandoning self-will, but I love the way she words it. It's turning self-will around. It's the same self-will. You know, if you know how to be selfish, and I think we probably all do, think about a time when you've been selfish. You probably won't have to search that far back into your mental history. Right? That same self-will, just turn it around towards the divine. Start seeking the divine with that exact same self-will. And listen to this. It's a direction deep within, underlying the self-center. Underlying the self-center. So, it's not the center itself. I don't know. I like to sometimes let you guys see. I don't know where you feel. Some people, you know, feel the spiritual center in different places. I've heard about people feeling it on the right side of the chest and people feeling it in the gut. But you can tell that I feel it right here. You know, I'm touching it. It's not the self-center itself that you're seeking. You're going to go through the self-center to an I can't think of a word. I want to say without boundary, but I wanted to turn it into one word, but I can't think of a word. But you're going to go through the self-center to a divine to an awareness, to a freedom without boundary that's underlying everything. You know, I think a word that's often used for that is essence. But the center is actually more like a portal. You want to go right through it, just like traveling through a magical mirror into another world. You want to travel right through the self-center into the absolute. That's the goal. And you're using self-will to attempt to achieve that goal. The same self-will you use to be selfish and self-centered. It's just turned around. It just has a new purpose. So where'd that sentence go? The divine revealing itself at the center virtually turns the will or feeling self in its direction, a direction deep within, underlying the self-center, and away from the rest of self. That's also very, very important. It's completely traveling in an opposite direction. So let's imagine for a moment that we all, remember back, you know, like 100, 150 years ago, everybody wanted to get to California for the gold rush. So imagine we want to go to California. We want to go to California. We want to go to California. And then all of a sudden something happens in us where we don't want gold anymore. We want peace. And we start wanting to head towards Montana because there's very few people there. We decide we want to go to Montana. So instead of heading to California, we suddenly turn and we move towards Montana, right? You can't, and notice you would never make it to Montana if you traveled towards Montana for an hour a day and then turns and start heading west again towards California for the rest of the day. And then every day for an hour, you remember you want to go to Montana. You start heading back to Montana. And then the rest of the time you start heading towards California again, right? You have to turn away from the rest of yourself. You turn away from all of your other goals, from all of your other desires, from all of your other attachments. I mean, you can hear, if you know Michael Langford's teachings, you can hear that although she's using different words and describing it in her own way, she's talking about that same intense desire for liberation that he talks about. You know, I don't know any teacher that I listen to anyway that says that that this should be a half-assed effort. Do you? No. I don't know any teacher that I listen to that says, you know, this is kind of like a hobby, an hour or two a day, and then other than that, just, you know, go on with your regular, whatever your regular thinking is, you know, just go on with that, you know? I don't know anyone who says that. And the way she's describing it to me is incredibly beautiful. You turn away from the rest of yourself. And you turn towards that divine center with the intention of going right on through it to the unbounded self. Yeah, and Cindy is quoting A Course in Miracles. If you listen to both the ego and Holy Spirit, you will fail. Yeah. I mean, this is such a clear message. So I'll read this sentence again because I love it, and then we'll go on. The divine revealing itself at the center virtually turns the will or feeling self in its direction, a direction deep within, underlying the self-center and away from the rest of self. In this way, the divine sets up an attraction like a magnet that keeps consciousness singular and pointed in its direction. I think if I remember correctly, last week when I ended my teaching, one of the last things I said was, Ramana Maharshi said it was like a magnet. And here we've got her saying the exact same thing. It's like a magnet. And then in this way, the divine sets up an attraction It's an attraction, you know. Michael Langford also, especially in his book, which by the way is no longer being published, How to Know a Life That Knows Only Love, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love, which is about the loving consciousness method of meditation. You know, he talks about looking at consciousness, paying attention to consciousness, just as you would if you were falling in love with a person, right? I mean, think about the times in your life when you were falling in love with a new person. Think about it for a moment. Did anybody have to force you to think about that person even while you were at work or even while you were taking walks? Did anybody have to force you to be eager to see that person or to talk to that person on the phone? Right? I mean, just think about when you're falling in love, how attracted you are to the person you're falling in love with. It's all you can think about. You want to be with the person all the time. You might even have to hold yourself back from talking about the person all the time when you're with other people, right? So that you wouldn't annoy the crap out of them, you know? So the divine is setting up this same attraction so that we can fall in love with it. And this is what's really important about, you know, our contemplation time. And this is why we don't want to rush through it. You know, I use the word homework, and I guess that's because, you know, at heart I am a teacher. So I talk about gentle healing homework and MPP homework. But if you have the attitude about that homework like you do about school homework, and you're just trying to get it done so that you can move on and do something else, you're not giving it the opportunity for the divine to set up this attraction factor that's going to draw you in like you're falling in love. Like a magnet. You know, when I started Gentle Healing Year 3, I gave people several options on how they could do Year 3. I told them they could do all four quotes every day. They could pick just one quote, you know, if they didn't have time for all four and focus on that one quote. Or they could do all four quotes, but then do one summary contemplation rather than four individual contemplations. And the reason I gave people that option is I didn't want them to rush through it. If they didn't have a life which gave them the opportunity to contemplate four quotes a day, I would much rather them spend time with just one quote. If they only have 20 minutes, spend that 20 minutes with one quote and go deeply into it than trying to cram four quotes into 20 minutes. Because you have to fall in love. You have to fall in love. You know, in the teachings of Inner Ramana, it talks about both discipline and devotion as being very, very important. And it says the devotion is the love. The discipline is the consistency, right? Now, we mentioned a little bit ago that when you're falling in love with a person, no one has to force you to spend time with them or force you to think about them. The difference is you don't have the ego resistance to falling in love, at least not in most cases. Here you do have an ego resistance. And so it is a little bit different than falling in love with a person. The ego doesn't want you to turn that self-will around from it and to seek only the divine with your self-will. Right? So there's a resistance there. And this is why you need the discipline to be consistent. But discipline, consistency alone won't get you there. It can't be a chore. It can't be like college or high school homework. It has to be a love. You have to fall in love with God. You have to fall in love with your contemplation. You have to fall in love with your purpose. So the divine sets up an attraction like a magnet that keeps consciousness singular and pointed in its direction. Singular. No other purpose. singular. You hear that word? And if you read NTI, I believe it's NTI Luke, it talks about the singular thought of God. The singular thought of God. That doesn't mean God and my finances and my relationship and my weight and my, right? It means just God. And so there are other things that we all do in our life. There's just no doubt about that. I mean, I have a family. I even now have one more family member that's using, taking up a lot of my time, a mother. She's here, and she came here with the expectation that I would take care of her. She forgot to ask me if I wanted to. And she's always calling me with tasks. In fact, while I was listening to Jacqueline, I don't know if you guys noticed, I put the camera off for a little bit. That's because mom called, you know. So I now have an extra family member. But the point is to hold on to that singular thought of God even while you're doing those other things. You see, that's the point. And the way that I do that is, or at least the most common way, I can't say it's the only way, but in my mind, I frequently ask the question, and actually what I just said isn't 100% true, because it's getting to where it's not in my mind anymore. That's how it started. Now it's more of just a shift that occurs without having to ask this question in my mind. But the way it started was asking the question in my mind. What sees this? What's aware of this? Right? What sees this? What's aware of this? What's constant? What's unchanging? So as I go through my day and whatever experience is happening, and whatever changes are going on, I'm attempting to use my self-will to stay with the singular thought of God, which really isn't a thought, it's an attention, it's a focus, the singular focus of God. And I can't stop my life. In fact, I thought about stopping my life. That was one of the fantasies I had around a year or so ago. I had this fantasy of just running away from everyone, including you guys. Running away from my family, running away from Awakening Together. I just wanted to run away because it feels like there's so much responsibility and so much work. I just wanted to run away, run away, run away. But that was self-will. And it wasn't self-will in the direction of the divine. Right? I could feel the ego in it. When I feel the divine is when I just go in the flow of this life, however this life is unfolding, and stay with what sees this, what's noticing this, what's constant, what's unchanging, right? And just let life unfold in whatever way it's going to unfold, and attempting not to control it in any way whatsoever. You see, running away was attempting a major control, you know, having these fantasies about running away. The funny thing was, this was before we had a retreat house, and the place I wanted to run away to was La Vida. And now I've got a retreat house there. Several people have moved there. A mom has moved there. So God, it's kind of like God said, hell no, you're not running away here. I'm putting your life right here too. You're just going to learn to live your life and stay with me. Right? You're just going to learn to live your life and stay with me. So in this way, the divine sets up an attraction like a magnet that keeps consciousness singular and pointed in its direction. At first, staying aware of the center may entail a mental effort or some form of deliberate mindfulness. Remember I told you that the question used to be mental, and I said it's not really anymore, right? But in the beginning it was. There was a mental question. Who sees this? What sees this? What notices this? What's constant? Now, that doesn't happen that much anymore. I mean, every now and then I'll hear the mental question. But now it's just a shift. The attention just happens without the question. So some kind of a new pattern or a new habit has been set up. But noticing, she is saying, at first, staying aware of the center may entail a mental effort or some form of deliberate mindfulness. But with practice, we become increasingly more centered and catch on to how this new awareness works in everyday life. Right there. I also said that, right? I was trying to escape everyday life. Right? But it's in everyday life. It's staying with our jobs, with our families, with our responsibilities, whatever they are, with our boredom. If that's what we have, a lot of people every now and then call me and say, you know, I have no purpose. I have no mission. I have no family. I'm bored. You know, I just do nothing all day. I'm like, well, that's your path then. You know, because if you're just sitting there all day without anyone or anything, that is what God gave you. You know, we all have to trust what we've been given. Those of us who have so much to do every day want to have nothing. And those of us who have nothing to do every day want to have something. And what we aren't realizing is whatever we have is what's perfect. Whatever we have, that is where we are to stay with this singular thought of God, with our current life exactly as it is. So at first, staying aware of the center may entail a mental effort or some form of deliberate mindfulness. But with practice, we become increasingly more centered and catch on to how this new awareness works in everyday life. I'll read this last sentence and then we'll stop. This is how an experience of the divine brings about a shift in awareness and begins to move toward a definitive change of consciousness. So it's living your life and learning to have the self-will turned inward towards the singular thought of God as you live your life exactly as it is. And with that, I release the mic. See you guys next week.